Welcome to the Grizzle One-on-One Management Podcast Series, an opportunity for us to talk to the leaders of innovative industries building the foundation of tomorrow's economy, panning away from the daily noise of the market and getting a deeper understanding of the big picture. It's a real pleasure to kick off the series with Alberto Arias, chairman of Largo, one of the world's largest producers of the battery and energy efficiency metal, vanadium. Alberto, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So both Scott and I are here. Scott, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, you know, I do. Alberto, you have a great kind of bird's eye view on the industry. And then also you understand the assets and what's going on under the hood and what may be coming in the future for investors. So maybe let's start high level. You know, the ongoing global energy shortages have gotten everyone talking about energy. Can you talk at a high level about the most exciting evolutions in energy that you're watching and investing in right now?
Yeah, no, thank you for that question. And it really is spot on. I think that what we're witnessing right now is one of the most important mega trends in the markets that we have seen in recent history, which opens a tremendous opportunity to investors. This mega trend is the world's transition to clean energy and the emphasis of reducing carbon footprint in major industries such as construction, energy, transportation. Look, I've worked on Wall Street for approximately 29 years, and I have never seen the level of structural shifts in demand in some critical metals like what we're witnessing today. I would compare it to the super cycle of the early 2000s when we saw the urbanization and industrialization of China. So I think that this opens tremendous investment opportunities in some of those critical materials, of which I would mention copper, vanadium, lithium, and all the battery metals.
Gotcha. Now, when you talk about it, maybe geographically where these opportunities are popping up, is this really a global opportunity, or are there certain pockets of areas of the world that you think are going to lead this transition?
Well, we're seeing a tremendous emphasis of battery materials in China. I think that in the case of vanadium, for instance, that's where we're seeing the larger number of implementation of those batteries. Europe, we are working at Largo on a memorandum of understanding and a joint venture agreement with a major Italian company. And we're seeing an incredible amount of investments in this clean energy revolution. And we hope to be part of that, you know, with this potential joint venture we're negotiating right now. In the United States, we're all familiar with the emphasis that the U.S. is having on carbon reduction. So I think those are the main pillars of growth that we see for this push for clean energy revolution.
So you think Europe and the U.S. are really leading the way as far as capital going towards the shift at the moment? And China.
Yeah, but China as well. Yeah, I think those three are the main engines of this clean energy revolution.
Gotcha. Now, for me, you know, when I was digging into vanadium, it's very interesting because people keep talking about electric vehicles and windmills and solar is driving the revolution. But vanadium shows you that the needle can be moved quite a bit with simple things like the steel in a building being lighter weight. You use less of it, less emissions. So I wonder if you could talk with us about the demand potential from simply just the construction industry, which I know is historically been where a lot of demand for vanadium comes from. I just was doing some work and I calculated that, you know, a 0.03% increase in the amount of vanadium that you'd use in steel would require 1.5 times more vanadium than you produce in an entire year. So I'm just wanted to pick your brain on what are your expectations for where the vanadium content of steel may go, maybe in China, if you have an opinion on globally, because it looks like we really are seeing a big change in governments realize that, you know, small changes in vanadium content can make a big difference in CO2 emissions.
Correct. And I think it's a very important evolution in the steel industry that we're seeing. As recently as today, Vale, the major iron ore producer, made some announcements of decarbonization and investing in the decarbonization of steel production. That tells you how important it is. I was reading some research reports of some analysts talking about the derating of the steel industry because the valuation of steel companies are incorporating the need of capex of green steel. So it is happening and it's being reflected in the markets. But to your question on vanadium, that highlights how critical vanadium is in this trend. What does vanadium do? Vanadium, if you add just a little bit of vanadium into the steel making process, you make steel much harder. So therefore, if you are using steel in construction, for instance, you need less steel than if you wouldn't have vanadium. So the nature of vanadium has a positive impact on the carbon footprint of major infrastructure projects, construction, which is a main source of CO2 emissions. So I think it's very important, and very important in an absolute level, because 90% of the demand of vanadium currently is coming from the steel industry. However, around 1-2% comes from the energy storage batteries, but that's where we see an explosive growth, especially in the long duration energy storage, which we're seeing a significant need for these batteries as there's more and more renewables energy going to integrate it into the national grids. So we're seeing projections that are almost unbelievable, that will require a lot of more vanadium. And that is very positive for the fundamentals of the vanadium supply demand.
Alberto, on that point, with respect to, you know, we brought on so much, Europe has brought on a lot of renewables, and in tandem, energy storage wasn't done. Like, is this a catch up to literally, you know, the installed capacity? And obviously we're going to, we'll get more renewables installed, but is there a latent opportunity with respect to, or is there a catch up here that basically, you know, at the same time we were doing, you know, renewable energy output, that there should have been this tandem storage as well?
Totally. And you're seeing it in real life. You know, when you see the fluctuations of the energy prices because of how, you know, the intermittency of these renewables into the national grids or major grids, it really creates a big problem. So the solution of that big problem is the implementation of large-scale batteries. And that is where vanadium redox flow batteries have a competitive advantage and a tremendous growth opportunity. So yeah, it's catch up, but what is coming is a very important increase in the demand for these batteries. And we're seeing competing technologies like some other flow batteries and so on, but we feel very confident that vanadium redox flow batteries are very, very competitive, especially with the business model that Largo has put in front of our clients. We're very proud of potentially doing a game changer on this technology, and we're very excited of playing an important role on that.
Is it safe to say it sounds like flow batteries are kind of at a tipping point where, you know, the world, as Tom said, has really built this generation capacity, but no storage. And they're realizing really to make this viable for the entire world, you do need storage. So it sounds like, is it really that for, you know, vanadium redox flow batteries are one of the like leading potential sources of that battery storage, but are we at a point where it's still very early days on just battery storage in general? Is that a safe assumption?
Yeah, but the need of those batteries is very, very near term. There has been a report conducted by Guidehouse. It was hired by Vanitec. It's an organization of vanadium producers and vanadium consumers. And the projections are incredible. They are expecting that by 2031, there will be the deployments of vanadium redox flow batteries will be around 32.8 gigawatt hours, which implies a compounded annual growth rate of 41%. In that period of time, which is incredible. The amount of vanadium that you will need to satisfy that kind of demand is approximately 10 to 12 times the size of Largo. And Largo is the largest primary producer of vanadium in the world. So we think that, you know, there is a tremendous opportunity in front of us, and we're really well positioned to benefit from it, and our investors as well.
Alberto, could you maybe help investors understand the vanadium market a little bit more from a production standpoint? You know, because it's unique where vanadium comes from. I know a majority of it comes from the steelmaking industry. So that introduces a unique aspect where supply from steelmaking, you know, it's dependent on steelmaking. If GDP is growing quickly and there's a lot of steel being made, then more vanadium is being produced, and then vice versa. So could you maybe explain a little bit more to investors about, you know, where vanadium comes from today and how you think that will change?
Yeah, around 50% of the vanadium is produced in China as a byproduct of the steelmaking process. And then another 20% comes from Russia. So around 70% is a combination of China and Russia. And also Russia is coming as a byproduct of steel production. But not all steel production in the world generates vanadium. Actually, the steel is a consumer of vanadium. So it's a balancing act in terms of, you know, this growth in steel, is it good or bad for vanadium? My view is that it is in general positive. Why? Because in China, this vanadium comes from a very low-grade iron ore mines that contain a little bit of vanadium, and they are not that competitive over the cycle. They work when iron ore prices are high, but when they come down, they get shut down. And as they get shut down, also the vanadium production gets shut down. The future of the steel industry and iron ore industry is really on those higher grade resources in Brazil, in Australia, where you don't have vanadium as a byproduct of iron ore. So I think that longer term, the supply trends for vanadium are actually quite favorable. As I said before, we are the largest primary vanadium producer. So we don't produce our vanadium as a byproduct of steel, because we're not producing steel. Our mine basically produces vanadium, and soon we're going to produce, in addition to vanadium, another metal called titanium that comes together with the same, in our same ore. We have two valuable metals. We're going to improve our economics by doing that. But that is the nature of the supply. On the demand side, basically, as I said, you know, it's 90% coming, the demand is from steel, but where the growth is really on the energy space, a significant growth there.
So it sounds like supply is pretty fixed from steel. As the steel industry production grows, vanadium supply will grow. But what if demand picks up like we're seeing from these expectations, what's already starting to happen? Does that mean there's going to be more demand for mined vanadium that doesn't come from the steelmaking industry?
Yeah, I believe so. The vanadium will have to come from somewhere. There are some you know, companies that produce vanadium as recycling ashes or spent catalyst, so as residues from other processes. So it is, there will be a need for more vanadium. At Largo, we obviously have a very good geologic endowment. I think we have a great exploration potential. So strategically, Largo wants to position itself. If the world needs more vanadium, we want to have the best projects to actually deliver that growth that is needed by the world.
Yeah, so I want to talk to you about how you think about if the world does need more resources and you do need, I mean, as far as Largo is concerned, I know you have a very long mine life production runway with your current resources. Have you looked into, you know, if vanadium really takes off like it looks like it may, would you have the potential for more exploration on your current your current resources? Would you look to other assets you have your eye on? Like how did you think that would play out for Largo?
Yeah, I think the exploration upside of our district, which is very very large, would provide a grade of that growth. So we don't need to buy another company to deliver that growth. We have other projects outside of our Maracás mine in Brazil as well that are very good. And I think those would be advanced if the vanadium prices were to be higher, because they would become more economic. But it takes time. You know, the development of a new vanadium project could take 5 to 10 years. I know it because we were critical to develop this vanadium mine in Brazil, and it took us around 7 to 10 years.
Wow. Okay.
I guess Alberto, at a high level, when we look at the supply demand going out, there just seems to be a structural deficit here. And you know, with respect to the undersupply of vanadium, there was an interesting graph, and you know, I'll try to I think it was from the FT, but basically showing that that basically so many of these critical metals, as it relates to the energy future, the processing of it, and in some cases the sourcing, come from China. How important is non-Chinese, if we think about concentration risk and non-Chinese sources of these critical metals, could you maybe talk a little bit about that aspect of it? I feel that that's an important, it's an important aspect of this. And vanadium is unique because not only do you have China, you have Russia contributing a significant amount. And from a high level perspective, I would say if there are other mine supplies, they surely have a much higher value, if you will.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that looking at where the dependence of the world is on critical metals is become increasingly important, especially with the unfortunate events between Russia and Ukraine. There was a lot of concerns. 20% of the vanadium is produced out of Russia, right? A company called Evraz is the main producer of vanadium there. There's still been like a flow of units into the West from Russia, but the Russians haven't been able to get paid. So it's an unsustainable situation. I don't know how long that's going to take. In the case of China, I think China in the vanadium industry has become like a black box kind of, because they are the largest producer, but they are also the largest consumer. So a critical characteristic of vanadium is to see, is China a net exporter or a net importer of vanadium? Historically, it's been a net exporter of vanadium, but not to a significant amount. And when you see China become a net importer, typically that's when vanadium prices take off. Where we have seen them in balance despite the slowdown, but with all these reactivation of the economy, incentives that we're seeing, and also the significant increase in battery deployments, we think that the outlook for China becoming a net importer have increased.
Now, we've seen China kind of move pretty aggressively to increase the quality of their steel, and that's benefited vanadium. I just wanted your take on, are you hearing, are there other countries, like, is this kind of the beginning of a movement where people are realizing this is a very, this is one of the cheapest, but it really moves the needle on decreasing CO2 emissions? Are other countries talking about, you know, increasing the vanadium content of steel for construction?
And maybe I'll just add a point on that, Scott, like with respect to these kind of efficiency improvements, this has to be, when you think about energy efficiency and CO2, vanadium has to be on the highest ROI end of the spectrum as it relates to incremental CO2 reduction and energy efficiency, which right now, irrespective if you think CO2 is important or whether energy efficiency, the energy crisis we're in right now, we should be, anything that has a significant ROI with respect to that reduction, you know, that should be like a top priority. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but you would have to think that vanadium is on that end of the spectrum, as Scott was saying.
Completely. And I think, the vanadium adds a lot of value to some critical needs the world has today. You know, this characteristic that it has of reducing the carbon footprint of construction is very, very important and not fully appreciated. So to Scott's question, you know, which other regions? Yeah, we're seeing that other emerging markets are, like India, is following the example that China has implemented a few years ago. In 2018, when China put a new rebar standard in their construction industry, vanadium prices went from $6 to almost $30 per pound of price. You know, that was a pretty good year for us because Largo generated approximately $400 million of cash flows. And we paid pretty much all of our debt, And we've been as a net cash position since then. Those things happen. And my background as a research analyst and a portfolio manager, in cyclical industries, what happened in the past happens again. And we see all the elements of a very good fundamentals for vanadium prices in front of us. Now, the question would be like, well, if the price were to increase too much, is that going to disincentivize the demand? Well, there's sometimes some substitution among metals, but I think that there is room for better prices and on the steel industry. And when you look at the energy space, vanadium has a unique characteristic that is also not appreciated by the average investor, which is that it never degrades. You know, vanadium is present in the battery in the form of electrolyte in liquid form, and it can last for 20 years without any significant degradation. That is very different than what lithium batteries have, which is basically they degrade every time you use it. So that unique characteristic is something that we at Largo have come up with a method to take advantage of that and reduce the cost of the batteries and hopefully to improve the demand for vanadium in that industry. And that is the creation of Largo Physical Vanadium, an ETF-like structure that is designed to prevent volatility in the vanadium price to affect negatively the demand of the batteries.
So Largo Alberto, I've been particularly impressed with, Largo isn't content to wait for demand to develop. It seems like you guys understand the market better than anyone. So you say, here's the potential of vanadium. We're going to drive demand and show people how they can use this metal in all these very, efficient return on investment ways. And so Largo Physical Vanadium seems to be one of those. So I just wanted to get your take on what was the objective to create that vehicle? And, what would Largo Physical Vanadium do for the market that you would say this has been a success? This is why we created this vehicle.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And let me tell you, when I used to work at Goldman Sachs as a research analyst, following the metals industry, I admired Alcoa as a company back in the 1990s, because Alcoa was a leader in the aluminum industry. And at some point of its evolution, they decided to stop thinking themselves as a producer of aluminum units and think more of themselves as solving their customer problems with the unique characteristics of aluminum. That was a massive change of value for the company, of growth opportunities, and it was fantastic. So we, as investors of Largo, I looked at the vanadium industry and there was no leadership. There was nobody thinking like that. And we took that leadership and we looked at the demand of vanadium and we saw the energy space, tremendous opportunity, but there was a big problem. The problem was vanadium itself. Vanadium was too expensive. 40% of the cost of the battery was vanadium. And sometimes you have volatility on vanadium, which could actually double or triple the cost. So that was a deal breaker for a lot of the customers and its application. So we thought about a way to solve this problem with the unique characteristics of vanadium. And we found it with the creation of an ETF-like instrument called Largo Physical Vanadium, which is formed now Australian in Canada. And what this does is buys and holds vanadium as an ETF does. It attracts separate investors. So investors will come in and participate, similar to the uranium trust that was created by Sprott. Sprott was our advisor in the creation of Largo Physical Vanadium. And but even better, because the units of vanadium that is going to be stored by Largo Physical Vanadium are going to be given almost for free to the battery customers. So what was the biggest problem has become the biggest competitive advantage. If you are a battery customer that was worrying about the price of vanadium, you don't have to worry about it anymore because you are not buying the vanadium. The ownership of the vanadium is being segregated And the owner of the vanadium is the ETF-like instrument, Largo Physical Vanadium. So I think this is a game changer because it's never been put implemented like that. You know, some people were saying, oh, I wonder if that's going to be a reality. Well, it is a reality because it's trading already. And we're very excited about the implications it will have, not only on the vanadium supply demand fundamentals, because I think that's going to improve it as it was improved in the uranium industry a year ago, but it's going to enable the application of these batteries because they're going to become more economically competitive versus how it was before, and against lithium as well. So I think this is a very exciting moment for the history of Largo, the history of vanadium, and the history of vanadium with those four batteries.
Very well put. I think, you know, there's some real innovations going on there, and it shows how proactive you guys are being. So congratulations on your success there. I know it started trading, I think, last Tuesday. So, you know, exciting days for Largo, for anyone who wants exposure to vanadium, right? Because prior to Largo Physical Vanadium, you couldn't invest in vanadium, the metal. You had to buy a mining company. Now people who want exposure to all this potential we're talking about, they actually can just own the physical vanadium through Largo Physical Vanadium, correct?
Correct. And different than other ETFs like that for commodities, right? You take the units, you put them in storage, they accumulate dust. For us, this is going to be the first ETF that is actually putting those units of metal to work for you. And it's unique because you can do it because on the vanadium redox flow batteries, the vanadium never degrades. So it is basically storage, but it's working for you while it's being stored. It's very innovative. And that tells you that Largo is not just a typical metal producer. We're really looking forward to have a bigger contribution to solve the problems of our customers, of these decarbonization needs. So I think that, you know, as we implement that strategy, we're going to get more credit in the equity markets of what we're doing.
That's like incredibly fascinating. Like this vehicle, you know, while others, you put your money in GLD, it sits there, as you were saying, and it acts like it's a speculative vehicle, right? GLD, the Uranium Trust, but this actually is acting like a catalyst because it's spurring that industry, if I've understood correctly.
Totally. If I would be an investor, and I am, that cares about ESG, you know, you want to have a good, you want your investment to have a positive contribution to society. I think this is the poster child of that because you are investing in a metal that is actually enabling a battery that solves the problem of these intermittency issues of renewable and is needed in the world. So plus it has a physical backing. A lot of these ETFs, like for gold or uranium, people like the physical nature of it. Well, you've got that in here, plus the benefit of its application in the battery space.
So it sounds like we're really just scratching the surface on what you're working on and the potential of vanadium. So we definitely want to have you back to talk more about specific things going on at Largo and what's going on in this industry and what you're seeing with, you know, the change to renewables. So Alberto, thanks so much for being on with us. Alberto Arias from Largo Inc.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to come back whenever you want.
Thanks, Alberto.